In this lesson, we're going to continue our discussion of the structured query language by looking at some more SQL statements, and additionally transitioning into looking at insert, update, and delete statements as well. Additionally, we're going to talk about creating stored procedures, which are analogous to creating methods for your applications. And since they're stored in the database itself, they can be used across more than one application. Managed in one spot, they're pre-compiled, and they have a lot of other benefits as well, and we'll talk about those near the end of this lesson. So you can see that I have SQL Server Management Studio Express open, that I've taken the steps from the previous lesson to attach to the My Company database, and now I'm ready to write some more ad hoc queries. So I click the new query button, and I get a new panel to work inside of. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is the use of subqueries. And subqueries are fairly easy to utilize. As you can see, there are two select statements. I have one select statement in parentheses, and then the other seemingly incomplete statement is here above it. Notice that I did create some indentation to show perhaps a relationship between these two queries. And notice that I have the in statement of the where clause that's empty. And the intent here is that this statement will be executed first. What this statement will return to us is a series of order IDs. Those order IDs will be used as the input to the second select statement. So we're only going to select those orders from the orders table where the order ID is in this list of results. So when I run the complete statement, it's going to return to me all orders that have the product ID 3 contained in them. So any orders that include product ID 3 will be listed here when we select the execute. So as we've kind of noted here above, that we can use these subqueries whenever it's not easy for us to express what rows need to be selected. And it's especially useful whenever we go to do updates and deletes, because we can check several different sources for information as the input to our ultimate update or delete statement. Okay, and that's a great segue into the next section. We're done with select statements for now. We want to talk about how to insert, update, and delete data into our database tables using the structured query language. Inserts are probably the most easy to start with, so I'm going to paste in a very simple insert statement. And so let's look at what's going on here. We have insert customers, and then open and close parentheses. And between the parentheses, a list of column names, first name, last name, address, city, state, zip, and country. Okay, state, province, postal code, country. And then below it, I have values and another open and close parentheses. And between them, I have hard-coded in a series of character strings that I intend to insert into my customers table. So this seems fairly straightforward. We have to have, for each column, a corresponding value in the proper position. So in this particular case, this is the second column that we described here, and therefore Tabor will be inserted into that particular field of data. Similarly, in the very last column, we hope to insert the word USA. Now, you can't have a disparity. You can't have more columns than values or more values than columns. If you do that, then you will get an error statement. Also, you don't have to include all the columns for your tables. You have to include all the columns that are non-nullable. So based on the nullable property, you have to make sure that you at least have those whenever you're doing an insert. Additionally, you have to make sure that the data types correspond with the data types that are in the database. So, for example, if I were to remove the quotation marks and try to execute this, in this particular case, we were able to do it because, as you can see, this is a numeric value, and there's a conversion done for us on the fly. However, in many situations, it wouldn't be quite that easy. But inserts are fairly straightforward. Let's move on to our next type of statement, and those are update statements. Okay. Now, I do a little bit of work here in the comments to try to call your attention to a potentially very destructive situation. In fact, I think that this is the most destructive of all the SQL commands that you have, because you can recover from a deletion of data, but there's no way to recover from an update of data that you perform inadvertently. And unfortunately, there have been a few times wherever I have destroyed large sums of data, and I know others have too, by simply forgetting the where clause at the very end. So if I were to select this statement without the where clause, it would perform this operation on every row of data, not just those that were refined by our where clause. So you can see that this could be potentially extremely harmful to your data. So what I recommend is that you start out by doing select statements to test your selection and get your where clause right. And once you can decide that you want to work with just this particular row of data where the last name equals Tabor, once you've kind of seen, okay, yes, this is correct, this is the row of data I want to work with, then translate this, delete the select star from statement, and write the remaining update syntax in order to make that work. But let's review the update syntax now that we've talked about and given you sufficient warnings about potentially really making a mess within the database. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But here we have a simple update. Here we name the table, in this case customers, and we have a set statement, and after that we're going to have a collection of name value pairs, the name of the column and then the value that we're going to update the column or the field of information with. In this case, we're going to set city equal to Rowlett, and we're going to set postal code equal to 75088 only where we find those customers whose last name equal Tabor. So as I go to execute this line of code, it says that one row is affected, and I'm going to go ahead and select star from customers, and notice that I was able to select even though this row has been commented out, I can still select it and execute it, just so you know. And now you can see that it has changed the city from Mesquite to Rowlett and changed the postal code as well. Now, one last bit of advice. You can see where I have suggested that you do your selects and get it right before you execute your updates. Another approach could be to actually make a copy of your database and to perfect your script there, perform the script, and to make verify the results to make sure you got what you intended. And so the key here is backing up your data before you do any extensive updates. Even if you don't intend to make any significant changes, forgetting that where clause could really, really, really hurt you if you were to perform it on the entire table. Forgetting the where clause would set, and here I'll go ahead and show you this. Look, we have accidentally updated 9 rows worth of data. So now if we select star from customers, look what happened. Everybody is from Rowlett, and everybody has the same postal code. Certainly that is not what we wanted to do. So we just destroyed data, and there's really no way to get back to it. Now, fortunately, I have a backup of the data, so I'm okay. Just make sure that you're okay, too, whenever you set out to use the update statement. And now let's move on to the delete statement. Here I suggest the same thing. Before you begin to delete data, make sure to perform a select statement first, back up your database, everything you need to do. But the actual statement for the delete is fairly simple. Delete customers where last name equals Tabor. Again, if you were to forget the where clause, you would be deleting every row from the customer table. In this particular case, we only want to delete one row of data. Now, in our discussion of creating table relations, we noted that because of the relation between the primary key and foreign key for two given tables, it's impossible to delete a record of information where there's a dependency. In other words, we can't delete a customer because he may have orders associated with him. If he doesn't have any orders, then you might be able to do it easily. So you can see in this particular case, let's find and make sure that there is a customer ID of 1. So let's do this, select star from customers where customer ID equals 1. We'll go ahead and execute that. And we can see that indeed we have a record. Now let's attempt to delete that record from our database. And notice that we get a similar statement to what we saw whenever we were working in lesson number 4. And that is the error statement that there was a conflict with the reference constraint, that we can't perform this operation because doing so would violate referential integrity. Okay, so we simply can't do that. All right, so that is the simplicity of the insert, update, and delete. In the case of the insert, update, and deletes, be careful, be cautious. You can use where clauses to single out those rows of or records of data that you want to update or delete, but be careful because if you forget that where clause, then you're affecting a change to every record within your database table, and that, my friend, is a very, very, very bad thing. This is the voice of experience speaking. Okay, finally, I want to talk about stored procedures. These are database objects that essentially house one or more SQL statements. And the beauty of a stored procedure is that it can be managed from one place. Since these stored SQL statements that we create are stored in the database, separate from the data, but in the same protective wrapping, the same enclosure, you get centralized administration. You get some benefits in terms of pre-compilation, and just makes the code that you write, Visual Basic or C# code, a little bit cleaner because you don't have all of the SQL code intermixed with the actual Visual Basic or C# code. And I will demonstrate what I mean by that last statement in lesson number 8. So just table that for the moment, and let me just show you how to create a stored procedure and leave it at that for now, and then you'll see how cool it is once we get to lesson number 8. But at a high level, just understand that stored procedures are collections of SQL statements, one or more, that can be named and saved within your database and reused over and over and managed from a central location. And a single stored procedure can include one or more select, insert, delete, or update statements. In some cases, you can even add some advanced transact SQL to allow some programmatic functionality that give you the ability to do some rather advanced branching and things of that nature, and even looping. So we're kind of moving back into the programming territory by using some of those extensions to SQL. And as I said at the outset, stored procedures, you can really think of them as methods that you would use in C# or Visual Basic, in so much that you have the body of the method itself, it has a name, and then you have input parameters, output parameters, return values, and then obviously the data itself that gets returned as a result, potentially, of your stored procedure. So let's talk about how to define stored procedures, and then we'll show an example of using one in lesson number 8 when we create our example from scratch. And for this, I'm going to open up yet another query pane. So you can see that I can have multiple query panes open at the same time. And here I'm going to paste in the code to create a stored procedure. Now, the code that we are creating here is different than the other queries that we've created in the past, where we can run them essentially over and over and over and over again if we want to. In the case, whenever we're creating a stored procedure, you can really only create the procedure once. If we need to change something about the definition, then we need to run a different statement, which is the alter procedure. Okay? But since we've not created it the first time, we're going to call create procedure. And by executing this entire statement from create all the way down to go, we're going to create a new object in the database. Now, this isn't a table or a column or anything like that, but it is an object nonetheless that we can reference from this point on. In fact, you can create tables and columns and indexes and relationships and all the things that we've been talking up to this point using only SQL, using a similar syntax of create, and then what it is that we want to create, table, and then the table name, and then in the example of a table, we'd have to create all the columns. So we'd have to list out the columns and what their values are and their properties and things of that nature. But we definitely could use a similar syntax to this to create those objects using nothing but Transact SQL. So I don't want to blow your mind too much, but I wanted to kind of give you a foundational understanding of what we're doing conceptually different here than in the previous discussions when we were working with SQL that could be executed over and over and over again. Ultimately, this is what we want to be executed by calling the name of our method, or rather stored procedure, customer insert. Okay, so this is the name of our stored procedure. These are input values. These are input parameters. So whenever we call customer insert from our code, we would reference each of these parameters, and using ADO.NET, set those parameters equal to some value that, for example, a user typed in, or that we retrieve from another application, or whatever the case might be. Now, notice that in the previous example here, whenever we wanted to do an insert, we hard-coded the values, and I'm going to go ahead and set this one back. We hard-coded them to literal string values here, by using an open and closed single parenthesis, okay? But in this case, we are getting rid of the hard-coded values and using these variables as input to the value statements, and those are declared here, okay? So we're going to insert customers, first name, last name, address, city, state, postal code, and country, and we're going to allow you, whenever you call customer insert the first time, to specify each of those values, and when you call it a second time, to specify different values, and when you call it a third time, to specify even different values. Okay? So hopefully that makes sense. Let's go ahead and run this, and you can see that the command completed successfully. So what really happened here? We didn't insert any records into the customer's table. We merely defined a method that would allow us, in this case, to insert records into the customer table. Let's look at the Object Explorer and go down to the programmability folder and look at the stored procedure subfolder here. And we're going to refresh this list, and you can see now I have my customer insert method. Let's go ahead, right-click it, and select Modify. And whenever I select Modify, it opened up a new panel. See, here's the one we were working in just a moment ago. And now it opened up a new panel for us. And notice what it did. Alter Procedure. Okay, it gives us dbo.customerInsert. Well, this part looks familiar. Well, what is this? Well, DBO is short for Database Owner. So that's the entity that owns that particular object in the database, and we'll talk about ownership in the next video. And now we have the ability to change anything we want to about this query. We can change the names, we can change the data types, we can add additional statements in here, whatever we want to do. And when we get ready to make those changes, we can select the execute button, and those changes will be made permanently into the database. Okay, let's see one more thing here. Oh, yes. Okay, so as we drill down in the Object Explorer, we can see the parameters, a list of parameters. Clicking on each one, we'd be able to get more information about them. Okay, pretty cool. Now, what if you can't remember how to create a stored procedure? What I'm going to do is open New Query and then go to the View menu and select Template Explorer. So SQL Server Management Studio Express gives you a bunch of templates for the most used types of SQL statements, and there are quite a few advanced ones. The ones we're going to look at are for the database themselves, or let's see, maybe we can find one for, here we go, stored procedures. And we can use a basic template to create a stored procedure. Now, this is more than just a basic template, but ultimately all the information that we were able to use in the previous example is still here. The create procedure, the name of the procedure, it's just that there's a lot of additional information supplied as well. Here's the parameters with the data types. Here's your actual SQL statement. You can delete that and change it. Okay. And here's even an example of how to execute our stored procedure strictly from our query window. So let's do that just for fun. Let's go ahead and see if we can't now execute the query that we created a little bit earlier here. And I'm going to go ahead and use this as reference. So let's go ahead and do execute. We'll give it the name customer insert. Then we'll give it each of the parameters we'll list. So we'll hard code these using literal string characters. City will make then I'm going to select this entire line. So we are going to call our customer insert for the very first time executing this method, and notice that we seem to be successful. How do we know we're successful? Well, let's go ahead and do a select star from customers. Scroll to the very bottom, and Beth Sullins is indeed listed here in our results. Now, there might be some occasions where you need to execute your stored procedures from our ad hoc queries, but for the most part, you'll be consuming them within your applications using ADO.NET. All right, so that wraps up lesson number 6. We still have some unfinished business. In the next lesson, we're going to take a better review of the other resources that are available to us within the SQL Server Management Studio Express. And then in lesson number 8, we're going to finish up by creating a full project from beginning to end, albeit a small one. So I hope you're enjoying this particular series of videos. If you'd like more training like this, please visit www.learnvisualstudio.net to download and watch over 500 screencam video tutorials just like this one on all things related to .NET, including C#, Visual Basic, ASP.NET, and more. Thank you.